I thought that it would be an appropriate discussion to have this evening about the bracha of Asher Yatzav. It's a time when we really come to a very new and appreciative understanding of what our human body is all about and how much we have to be grateful for all that we have. And we say the bracha of Asher Yatzav so many times a day. Perhaps now is a very good time for all of us to consider what that really means and how profound it really is. There's an amazing mashal that is told by Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya, not the classic Rabbeinu Bechaya, but rather the one who is the Baal Chovos HaLevavos, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, who passed away in the 1300s. So Rabbeinu Bechaya writes a beautiful mashal in his psicha, in his introduction to the Shar HaBechina. And there he says, imagine you have a mashal le'ish chesed v'tov lev. Imagine you have an overly generous, magnanimous human being who is so charitable. And he finds out that there is a young child who is abandoned by his parents. And he decides, I should do whatever I can to help this child. After all, I feel terrible for him. So he takes him in at 2 months old, raises this child, has so much love and compassion and mercy for this child. He does everything possible that the child can ever imagine. He overwhelms him with his affection. And then, over time, he obviously sends him to school, sends him to college, gets him married off, takes care of his children, his grandchildren, and he's so heavily involved in every aspect of this young child's life who ends up becoming an adult under his watch. After some time, he now has an empty home. He's an empty nester because he's married off this child that he had in his house for so many years. And now at this point, he sees an advertisement in the newspaper. And there it says that there's a prisoner who has a family who was thrown into jail because he came upon hard times and he wasn't able to pay his bills. And the government arrested him. And the government will not allow him to get out until he pays whatever it is that he owes. On that occasion, he says, you know, I now have extra money. I'm not really raising children anymore. My wife and I have enough money for retirement, so I may as well give whatever savings I have to try and help this human being, to help this individual who is in trouble. And he goes and he bails him out, and he does whatever he can to help this man put his life back together. Ask the Chovos HaLevavos, who is it that has more gratitude? Who is it that is more grateful to this human being, to this magnanimous human being? And he says, obviously we know, a child who grows up in his parents' home, who is showered with love from the day that he can remember, does not have the same sense of appreciation that an outsider has who takes a one-time favor but really understands and appreciates what that favor is all about and how little he is deserving of that kindness and that favor from this individual. And therefore, writes the Chovos HaLevavos, so often we have the perspective of that young child who just feels that everything comes to them because we know nothing different. Because as we know, this is the life that we've known from the day that we've been born. Things for the most part have been going pretty well. Our society, our economy, our bodies, our lives, so much about everything that we take for granted is something that we really don't have an opportunity to be as grateful for. And says the Chovos HaLevavos, it is time for a human being to make sure that they understand that every moment has been a gift until this point. Every moment moving forward continues to be a tremendous gift. And this is something that really has a profound connection to Pesach as well. We're on the cusp of celebrating Pesach, and I'll say that again. We will celebrate Pesach. Regardless of the situation that we might all be in, we will celebrate Pesach. It is a time where we have a chiyuv of simcha. It is a time when we have an obligation to be in a state of enjoyment, of happiness. Maybe it will be a little bit different. Maybe it will be expressed differently and felt a little bit differently. But simcha, it certainly will be. Under all circumstances, under all conditions. And every year, it is seared into my mind. I think about this every year when we come to the celebration of Pesach. Because the first time I heard this was when I was 18 years old. I'm not that much older now. But when I was 18 years old, I heard this from my great teacher, Rav Asher Weiss, who said the following mashal, and I'm moved every time that I think about it, every time that I repeat it, and I've said it so many times in our shul, but I'll say it again for those who may not remember it. Write it down, say it at the Seder, think about it at the Seder, but it relates directly to this point. And he told the mashal, he told the story about a young child who was sitting at the Seder with his grandfather. And the imagery is just so beautiful, how this young child is sitting there listening with total fascination and great interest to all the stories that his grandfather is telling him about Yetzias Mitzrayim, about Kriyas Yamsuf. And the young child turns to his grandfather and he says, "You know, I'm very inspired by all of this, and I understand that we have a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to recount the stories and the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf. But," he says, "I really have a very difficult question that I really don't think you've addressed. Isn't God the one who created, who designed the Yamsuf? If he's the one who made it, then why is it such a big deal that God also is the one who split it? If God can create it, he can also partition it. What is the difference? Why are you getting so excited?" And the grandfather said, "I will tell you a mashal to explain the profundity of this great miracle." And he says, "Mashal to an artist, to a sculptor, who makes all kinds of beautiful pieces of art throughout his life. But he says, you know, I really want to leave over a piece of art for the world to understand how great an artist I really was." So he says that he's going to spend a few months in his home focusing, totally focused on this one piece that he wants to leave over for the world to appreciate. And he is so seasoned, he is so experienced, after a few months he designs the most beautiful horse you can ever imagine. And after a discussion with his family, he says, "How am I going to get the highest bidder for this horse?" One of the family members says, "Well, you know, Wall Street is a very busy place, a lot of businessmen. Maybe now it's not as busy as it usually is, but Wall Street is a very busy place, and if you go one morning before the working hours begin, and you leave the horse there in the middle of the street, and you stand on the side and you listen as people marvel over the beautiful piece of art that you have created, you will wait until somebody puts in a bid for a tremendous amount of money. That's the way you'll get the highest bidder. That's the way you'll really get what you deserve for this beautiful piece of art." And that is what he does. He goes the next morning, and he waits until rush hour. And he notices as everybody's getting off the train, running to their office buildings, not one person stops to look at it. And he's shocked. He can't believe it. He can't understand it. He says, "You know, maybe everyone's busy running to work. They don't want to be late to meetings. Let me wait till lunch." And he sees as everybody comes down for lunch hour, again, the same scene. Nobody bothers to stop and look at it. And he can't believe it. He's beside himself. And then he realizes, you know, they only have an hour for lunch. Maybe it's something, they have too much pressure, they have too much on their minds, they only have an hour to spare. Maybe I'll wait till dinner time when everybody's running to the train to get home. And once again, the same scene repeats itself. And he's so beside himself. He comes home that night and he says to his family members, "You know, it must be that I'm really not such a good artist, because after all, I stood there for an entire day and not one person bothered to even take out of their busy schedule to look at it for a moment. Not only not to offer money, but nobody bothered to look at it." And he could not understand what was wrong with his piece of art that he had created, until finally his wife turns to him and says, "You have the wrong perspective. The reason nobody looked at it is because this is such a beautiful piece of art that was crafted so perfectly. There's nothing to look at. It looks like a real horse. Everybody's seen a horse in their lives. This is not so exciting. Why should we stop and look? There's nothing here." So he says, "What should I do? I should make a horse that doesn't look perfect? Then I'm not a good artist. I'm not true to who I am. If I make a horse that looks too perfect, then nobody bothers to look at it." So his wife says, "I have an idea. Take this horse that you've made so beautifully and split it in half. Put one side of the horse on this side of the avenue and the other side of the horse on the opposite side of the avenue. And then when people pass by, they will notice immediately that this must be a piece of art." And said the grandfather to his grandchild, "Yes, it is true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam, is the one who created our world. He is the one who created the Yamsuf. That is the most profound miracle. But how often do we have the ability to actually appreciate the miracle of the Yamsuf itself? Most people live life never thinking for a moment about how amazing a miracle that is. How amazing a miracle it is that we all have the beautiful and special blessed lives that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And that is b'chesed elyon. That is such a tremendously powerful gift. But often we don't have the opportunity to stop and appreciate what that is." And the grandfather told his grandchild, "Sometimes in life, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to do is split the Yamsuf in half to make people have an understanding and an appreciation of the great profundity of the miracle of Yamsuf that was always there. Unfortunately, there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu breaks people's lives, breaks their parnassas, breaks all kinds of things that we all take for granted at every moment of life, and the profundity of the miracle only comes through when we're able to have that experience. Not that we are ever able to explain the Darkei Hashem. Nistarim Darkei Hashem. As a number of the Rishonim say, Ilu Yedativ Hayisiv. If I understood all the ways of God, I would be God myself. But I don't. I don't understand the ways of Hashem. I will never understand the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So many young families in our shul have asked, you know, maybe the world has to be punished, maybe the world has to be suffering for some reason, but please explain to us, why is it that children have to be suffering as well? Why are children getting sick? I see that as the same difficult question as, why are adults all over the world sick? I don't think we're able to offer any answers. The Mesorah that I have from my father and from all of my great teachers always has been and always will continue to be. It is not our job to give answers. It is not our job to try to understand why things happen, because we will never really have a perfect understanding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so beyond our level of understanding that it's not even worth the time trying to figure it out, because we never will. We have no way of figuring out a tragedy like this. And this is a tragic time. This is an Esar. There are so many people suffering all over the world, even the ones that we don't hear about. I have to say, we hear about plenty of people in our community that are not in the hospital with what we would call mild symptoms. But mild symptoms also means that they're suffering tremendously. Forgetting about the physical suffering that obviously so many are dealing with, the emotional suffering and the monetary suffering and all of the ripple effects of everything that's going on around us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes gives us the opportunity at moments like this to turn around and say, now you appreciate the entirety of the Yamsuf. And Rav Asher Weiss once told me, perhaps this is also what it means when the Navi describes what the experience of Geula is going to feel like. What is that going to look like? And the Navi says, Umala ha'aretz deya es Hashem. In the end of days, the world will be filled with an understanding of godliness. Kamayim leyam mechasim. How do you translate those words? Very difficult to translate. But he said, perhaps, al derech hadrush, what it means is, we will have such a deep understanding of the Ribono Shel Olam, kamayim layam mechasim, will be like the yamsuf that covers itself over and does not any longer need to be split. We will have an appreciation of godliness just from the Bria itself, just from looking around at what life is and how beautiful and amazing and profoundly impactful our world is. We're not going to need any splitting any longer to make us come to an appreciation and an understanding of what godliness is in all of our lives. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Sefer Mishlei, B'chol derachecha da'ehu. It is our job to understand and appreciate God in all of our endeavors, in everything that we do. And says Rabbeinu Yonah, Chayiv Adam lezachra b'chol ma'isav, we have an obligation to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every facet of our lives, in every interaction that we have, and in all that we do. In fact, the Navi Yeshaya says, Su'u marom einechem ure'u mi bara ele. Lift up your eyes, and you will have no question any longer who it is that created our world and who continues to sustain the amazing world in which we live. Like I said to someone this week, there is no other power, no other being in the world that could have made something like this happen. That also is profound. There is no genius, there is no scientist, there is no person in the world who could have brought the entire world to a standstill on every level, in every country, other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let us now think a little bit about the bracha of Asher Yatzar. And the reason why I consider talking about this is because not only should we now have a deeper appreciation for the general function of life that we may be blessed to have every single day and every moment of life, but also because there are many who have commented that over the past week they've had the opportunity to really think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that life has somewhat slowed itself down, it's given them an opportunity to think a little bit more. I have to admit, I have not had that great blessing yet. And whoever has that great power to think more about HaKadosh Baruch Hu now and feel closer to Him, I am very jealous of you. I am feeling very lost, very inundated, very overwhelmed by what's been going on. The shilas that have been coming up every single day seem more and more difficult, more and more challenging as the days go by. And it's a challenging time for me, as it sure is for everybody else. But when the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, listen to these beautiful words, look them up on your own. It's in the Rambam, Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, very famous words. Heichu HaDerech L'Ahavaso U'Liyiraso. How does one come to an appreciation, to Ahavas Hashem? How do we come to an understanding? God is a being that we have no way of really interacting with other than tefillah. Now tefillah, do not underestimate how we interact with Him, but in the end of the day, it's not physical. Every other relationship that we have is physical. We see somebody, we interact with them on a very physical level. But how do we come to a love and appreciation for a being, for an entity, that we have no physical contact with? And the Rambam addresses this question and he says, Bishal sheyizbonen ha'adam b'maisa, when a person begins to consider, when you study, when you examine, when you contemplate what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done, u'bruav ha'niflayim ha'gedolim, and the unbelievable life that God has created, and you start to understand the chachma that is involved in the lives that God has put onto this earth, miyad hu oev hu mishabeach hu mefar, says the Rambam, that should lead a person to have the most profound sense of love that one can ever have. Hu misava taiva gedola leida Hashem hagadol. Don't you want to have even more of an infinite understanding of God as much as we possibly can? Just because we want to have a greater appreciation. You talk to a doctor, you talk to a scientist, they always want to know what's the latest research, what's the latest paper that's coming out in their field, because this is of such tremendous interest. You talk to a Talmud Chacham, you talk to a person who's developing Psak Halacha, all they want is to see the latest tshuva, the latest sefer that's come out, because if something is extremely of interest to me, I want to know everything about it, and it gives me a greater appreciation for what that reality is. And therefore the Rambam says, if we want to come to an appreciation of Ahavas Hashem, the greatest way to come to a love of God is by thinking about the unbelievable world that He has created. Let's start the bracha because we're almost out of time, I see, and I really don't want to take away from Rabbi Leibowitz at all. So we start off, Hashem Yatzar Es HaAdam Mechachma. That is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. What exactly does that mean? Who is it that we're referring to that was created with Chachma? And here the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Vav, the very beginning of Aruch Chaim, that Chachma here is referring to the infinite wisdom of God Himself. Asher Yatzar Es HaAdam Mechachma, that we recognize God has unbelievable wisdom, so beyond anything that we can ever even begin to fathom or understand. Such tremendous sophistication, such unbelievable nuance in everything that was created in the world. That's the brilliance of God. That is the Chachma that we refer to here. The Maharsha writes that perhaps this is not what it's referring to. Maybe it means the Chachma that we as human beings have as opposed to the animal kingdom. Obviously, the animals also have a sense of intellect, a sense of understanding. But the human intellect, the human mind, is far beyond any understanding that any animal will ever have into its environment. And therefore, we assume that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu either for creating this world with such intricate and brilliant and sophisticated detail, or we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating us with Chachma, for giving the human beings, Homo sapiens, the ability to think and understand and have a critical intellect that helps them navigate the challenges of life. We say a very strange phrase, which we don't find, I believe, in any other bracha that we say throughout the year. And this is pointed out by one of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon. Galei v'yadua lefnei kisei kevodecha. There are many, many brachas in which we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but never do we say a reference to His kisei hakavod, maybe once or twice in other places, but the Vilna Gaon writes, why does it appear here in Asher Yatzar? What is unique about Asher Yatzar that makes us think about the kisei hakavod? And the Vilna Gaon suggests perhaps the reason why is because there are philosophers who believe that it is beneath the dignity of God to be involved in lowly and base activity like the basic human fundamental activities that we all need to be involved in, our eating, our drinking, our sleeping, our perhaps relieving ourselves. Some believe that that is beneath God and God would never be involved in such a lowly activity. And says the Vilna Gaon, we recognize the fact that there is nothing in our lives, there is no level, there is no part, there is no substance of our lives that is beneath the dignity of God. And in fact, we highlight, when we're involved in the lowest of human activity, we highlight this acute awareness that God is lifnei kisei kivodecha. We highlight the fact that He sits on a heavenly throne, so far away from us, so beyond our understanding, in such another realm, in such another atmosphere, in another stratosphere, and yet we admit to the fact that even though He is on His kisei hakavod, He still makes time to pay attention to every one of our needs. We say in Ashrei every day, Poseach es yadecha, u'maspia lechol chai ratzon. God is the one who provides for every single wish and want that we have in our lives. It is all God. There is nothing that is beneath Him. And says the Vilna Gaon, we go out of our way to highlight that God goes from all the way on His kisei hakavod, from that stratosphere which is so beyond our understanding, so beyond our capacity to appreciate. And we understand and we appreciate the fact that He comes all the way down to every activity that we may be engaged in, that we are involved with throughout the course of our lives. There is then a line that we say, "Eifshar lehiskayem v'la'amod lefanecha." What does it mean? We would not be able to stand. Unfortunately, there are many who are unable to stand due to physical conditions that they have. So what do we mean? We thank God for the ability to stand. Does that mean somebody who unfortunately is in a wheelchair leaves this line out? And the answer is no. The answer is no, because perhaps what this means is we would not be able to stand in the way that Pasuk uses standing, which is la'amod l'sharis. Standing is a reference to our ability to serve You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of life, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, all of life is to be an Eved Hashem. All of life is to give all that we have, all the gifts, all the talents, all the milas, all the chesronos, all the wonderful challenges that each of us are given, and all of the obstacles, to give it all, that entire package, back to the Ribono Shel Olam. And that is what we say. If we wouldn't have the good health, if we didn't have the ability to have a functioning body, we would not be able, la'amod lefanecha, we would not be able to stand and serve You. Not to physically stand, but to stand and serve You. We then come across a very curious phrase, which is, afilu sha'a achas. Maybe you'll notice that there are some sidurim that have that phrase in, some sidurim that have it out. The reason why is because it's a very big point of debate among the Rishonim. How do we understand what that phrase means? Do we really mean to say that if God didn't continue to sustain us, if we didn't have all the nikavim, if we didn't have everything in order, we wouldn't be able to live even for 1 second? Is that true? After all, the Maharal Mirittenberg says, we should leave this out. Why? Because the Maharal Mirittenberg argues, if I close my mouth and I close my nose for 30 seconds, you see some professional swimmers are able to keep their mouths and their nose closed for a long time. So this is simply not a true statement. I wouldn't be able to survive afilu sha'a achas. Is that really true? It doesn't seem to be true. And therefore the Maharal Mirittenberg says this is a mistake and it is therefore to be taken out. Other Rishonim say, no, that is not what it refers to. We don't mean that if our nose or our mouths or our lungs didn't work for 1 minute, we would not be able to survive. Rather, it's a reference to the moment of birth. It's talking about the moment that a child is born. And this is one of the great wonders of life. How is it that a child knows that up until a certain point, it is supposed to continue to gain nourishment from its mother, and then, from one moment to the next, it's supposed to stop gaining nourishment and start opening its mouth and breathing fresh air? How does a baby know to make that transition? As we all know, if that transition is off even for a critical moment, the life will be very profoundly impacted forever. And that, say the Rishonim, is what we mean. Afilu sha'a achas. Think about that first moment of birth. Think about what entails that first moment of birth to go successfully and to all go the right way. And that is what we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Not only all the profundity of life, not only all the gifts, but certainly we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that first moment when things actually went right, when so many things could have gone wrong. I remember when we had the blessing of our first child being born 10 years ago. Not 10 years ago, 9 years ago. Thank you. And I remember that my son is actually watching, so he's correcting me. So I remember that Reb Nassim Tzvi Finkel. I had called him. He was the Rosh Hashiva of the Mir Yeshiva, and I told him that we had a young baby boy. And I spent a few minutes talking to him on the phone, and he said, "How are you doing?" I said, "I'll be honest, I'm so overwhelmed from the experience. I remember when the doctor came in to check out my wife, the doctor turns to her and says, 'You look fine. I don't know what's with your husband. He seems to be having a problem.' And I was very overwhelmed by the whole experience. And I remember I mentioned that to Reb Nassim Tzvi Finkel, and I said, just the amount of things that have to go right, and until you see that the child has five fingers on this hand and five on the other and five toes on this foot and five toes on the other, and are you going to hear the baby cry right away when it's supposed to, and you're just waiting with such apprehension for that moment of afilu shah achas. And Reb Nassim Tzvi Finkel told me in the name of some of the Rishonim that perhaps this is what it means. Ezehu chacham, somebody who is considered to be a chacham, is a person who is roeh es hanolad. Somebody who throughout life always remembers that moment of birth. That profound miracle, that unbelievable, overwhelming experience of what it means to have a healthy birth. This is what we refer to every day when we say the Asher Yatzar so many times a day. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for that first Shah Achas, for that first moment when you gave the ability for a human being to get everything right. And it's an unbelievable miracle. It is so profound. It's what gets the trajectory of life going on to the right path. And finally, we end the bracha by saying, Rofei chol basar umafli la'asos. Mafli means pele. What is it in our lives that is such a great pele? What is it that we're so overwhelmed? What is this great miracle that we refer to here? So the two arise that perhaps the pele is, you know that if we have a balloon and it's filled with air, but somebody will pop a hole in the balloon, or you have a basketball and you make a hole in it, all the air is going to come out. Well, then says the Torah, does it really make sense that we have a body that is filled with blood and with all kinds of things that are important and integral for the body to be able to function, and yet we have plenty of openings in our body and everything doesn't fall out? That is the great pellet, says the Torah. Just think about the profundity of that. It's something we never consider. But does it really make sense that insides of our bodies don't come out throughout the day? Why isn't our nose dripping all kinds of things that are in our heads? It's an unbelievable pellet. It doesn't make sense. And it doesn't follow logic. As we know, if you have a balloon and you make a hole in it, it will pop. Says the Rama, it's a very nice interpretation, but there's something more to it. Umafli la'asos does not only refer to the profundity of the miracle that we experience just every single day in human life, the fact that everything that's inside remains inside, everything that's on the outside remains on the outside, and we don't have all kinds of trouble with that. But says the Rama, this means so much more. Mafli la'asos is the greatest miracle of them all, and that is that God gave us all a neshama tahor, which is so different from our physical body. And yet somehow our body figures out how to host a neshama tahor. How is that possible? That is like fire and water. That doesn't make sense. And writes the Rama, the greatest pele of our lives is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu figured out a way for us to have a neshama and a guf that coexist, to have that experience where we have a moral compass inside of us, even though so often our physical body pulls us in a different direction that is so antithetical to everything that our neshama represents. And yet, writes the Rama, that is the greatest gift of them all. This is what we think about in times like these, but it's something we should really think about all the time. The next time you say Asher Yatzar, at least take away one message that this bracha really is about. Think about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has split the Yam Suf in a million different ways in our times. Think about how that Yam Suf that we never appreciated, that life, that body, those lungs, the ability to do all that we do on a day-to-day basis, was something that perhaps so often goes unnoticed. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a Kriyas Yam Suf, not because he's not the one who originally made the original miracle happen of the Yam Suf being created, but he creates the splitting of the Yam Suf to make us reflect and to give us an opportunity to appreciate the miracle of Yam Suf that was always there all along. Amir Tashem, next week we will continue, but I turn over the shiur this evening to my great friend, Rabbi